Okay, welcome back. Hope your day was better than many in the South. And if it wasn't, make tomorrow a better one. It's up to you. Most of us don't have catastrophe to deal with. And we've learned a lot, I hope, in the last week. Not the least of which is it's time to wake up. If we don't wake up now, folks, it's over. There is an amazing story. One of the great mysteries, not only of these United States, but mysteries of our time and perhaps of all time. And it is wrapped up in the legacy called the Coral Castle in Florida. It's an extraordinary story. And for openers, if all of you online can do this, go to my website and click on my guest's name, John DePew. Go to his website, and at the top of his home page, you'll see a link which says Coral Castle Code. And I'd like you to load that up, if you will. It'll take a minute or two. It's a lengthy page, beautifully put together. And what we're going to do tonight is, in essence, solve a mystery that has been lurking for well over half a century. And in the larger picture of things, it has been lurking since the Great Pyramid was built and other great architectural marvels in the old world, around the world. This is a big story about a little man in Florida and an even bigger man now, John DePew, than he was last time he was on the program, in terms of his incredible perseverance, his brilliant insights, and his discovery of the secret, apparently, or at least a big part of it, that allowed Ed Leedskalner to do things of a superhuman nature, things that no single mortal man could ever do without having figured something absolutely awesome out, which Leedskalner did. So let's see if John is there now and welcome him back. Hello, John.
Hello. How are you, Jeff?
Good, thank you. Good, very good.
Good to hear.
How many years have you been working on this Coral Castle mystery?
Oh, it's probably been about 15 years.
15. And what got you started on it?
Compulsion, I suppose. It's really a long story. I knew there was something there, and I didn't want to stop until I found it.
Something, yeah. Something huge.
Yeah, it gets bigger every day, actually.
There are 2,310,000 Google hits for Coral Castle.
Wow.
There are a lot of them. And I think I'm really proud of our guests over the years. I've been talking about this for over 10, well, almost 12 years now on the program, off and on. If you can get some time, folks, also, do some research on the Coral Castle yourself. Look at the pictures. You've got some pictures on your site, too.
Yeah, not too many of the castle itself.
Right. The castle is not one edifice. It's a number of objects. If you had visited the Coral Castle about 60 years ago, you would have no doubt been greeted enthusiastically by a little man weighing a mere 100 pounds and just barely cracking the 5-foot-tall barrier. He would have asked you for 10 cents admission, and then he would have introduced you to his fantasy world carved out of stone. And as you moved around his rock garden and the significance of each piece was explained to you, you could not help but notice the great pride Ed Leedskalner took in his magnificent work. Since it's documented that no one ever witnessed Ed's labor in building his rock gate park, some say he had supernatural powers. Ed would only say that he knew the secrets used to build the ancient pyramids, and if he could learn them, you could too. Today, anybody who wants to can leisurely tour the Coral Castle via a 30-minute state-of-the-art audio tour. You can hear the story. You can see pictures on the Internet. As I said, there are many, many websites, and the works that Ed created were marvelous. So, John, when you saw this, you didn't see it online probably at first, but where did you see it at first, come to think of it?
Leedskalner information you're talking about?
Yeah.
I heard about it through a friend about the castle when I went down to visit it, and that's when I got the pamphlets and stuff. And that's what started.
When you went down there and you walked around, was it made clear to you that no one knew how he did it during that tour, or was it just kind of a strange exhibit that people went to see? How much information was there?
Well, when went there, there wasn't anybody there, really. It was pretty empty.
That's what I've heard. It just was sort of there.
Yeah, which I preferred anyway, because I'm, you know, I'm that way.
So. Right.
It was amazing, really, you know, the size of the block. There's just, you know, when you're standing next to them, you really appreciate how huge they are.
Right. They are huge.
Yeah.
They're made of what kind of material? Are they all the same?
Coral limestone. Well, some of the pieces were from his first original gardener, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And he had them shipped over to this newer location.
He packed up and moved, basically.
Yeah, not all of it, just some of his key pieces.
Right.
And those are different as far as the style of stone or coral.
Tell us who Ed Leedskelman was. I mean, many of our listeners know, but there are a lot of new folks out there who don't.
Well, I can't do it justice like you can. You have such an elegant speaking voice. You'd probably do better at it than I would.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. He was an immigrant.
Yes.
And allegedly, he was jilted by a young girl who refused to marry him and so forth. It's hard to know what the real motive was for it. That was may have been some PR that he was...
Yeah, I don't buy into that part of it, really.
Right.
Especially now.
Right. Well, especially what you know now, indeed, and what we're going to explain a little bit later. And what we will be explaining is something that has haunted scientists, soothsayers, and laymen alike for over 60 years now. It's located in Homestead, Florida, and without question, one of the most amazing structures ever built. In terms of accomplishment, it's been composed of, as you heard John say, huge pieces of rock. Some people compare it to Stonehenge, to ancient Greek temples, and even the pyramids of Egypt on a micro scale. It's amazing no matter how you look at it. Leedskelman's choice of building materials is what makes his undertaking so astonishing. They were, as you heard John say, huge blocks of coral rock, some weighing as much as, now get this, 30 tons, okay? 30 tons. What, an average automobile weighs, what, 2,000 to 3,000 pounds? Something like that, John?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so figure 30 cars. Now, he's 25 cars.
Yeah,
the guy's
moving.
Yeah, the little guy's moving pieces of rock that weigh as much as 25 automobiles. How'd he do it? Nobody knew until John DePew came along. Now we think we do know.
So now it's more mind-boggling than before.
yeah, indeed. Yeah. But the story is he did all this, of course, because he was jilted, but that nobody really who studies him buys that anymore.
Yeah.
We just don't seem to understand that that this man, through his own genius, was able to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, super genius. Because, you know, I got a computer that I'm working with to figure a lot of it out. I don't know how he either it was passed down to him or he just really, you know, was beyond smart.
Well, it could have been a Nikola Tesla type thing. You know, someone who was really far, not only ahead of his time, but maybe ahead of this dimension.
Oh, it's amazing. When you get into the brilliance that's written into the code itself, like I said, it's mind-boggling. I have trouble even talking about it. It's so deep that you don't really know where to begin, you know?
Right. The page you've put together is beautiful.
Oh, thanks. A little bit overdone as far as the pictures I've heard. It doesn't load too fast, but I'm not really...
No, it just takes a minute to load up. It's fine. We're going to look at an image as we kind of walk through this, and it is an absolutely gorgeous image called the Flower of Life. It's called several things. What are some of the names and concepts that
which image are you referring to?
Well, just take any one you want. It's the totality.
I could just start at the beginning if you want. Just get a good base understanding of what we're talking about here.
Okay, we'll do that. Let's look at the top. Now, all of you, again, if you can, just go to John DePew's page. Look at the top. Coral Castle Code. Load that page. And we're going to take a walk through that now with John and how he did this. Before we go any further, though, let's mention the book. It's important. He did write a book.
Right.
He left it behind. And he didn't, in the book, exactly tell anybody anything about how he did it. I mean, he didn't disclose the whole secret.
Right. Definitely was in a roundabout way.
He left an enigma. Uh-huh. He left many enigmas, come to think of it.
But he did leave the secret on the cover.
Now, that's the part that's just... It's, remember, folks, Hidden in Plain View, okay? Just remember that when we come back. We're going to take a break, come back with John DePew, who, in my honestly humble opinion, deserves some kind of recognition for his own brilliance. The man has solved what may be the most enigmatic mystery of all time, and that's how the ancients moved enormous pieces of perfectly cut stone over distance and placed them exactly together. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Talking with John DePew. I want you to remember that name. This man is just amazing what he's done. Coral Castle Code. The Coral Castle Code. Let's just kind of walk through these beautiful pictures and illustrations. Number one, John, let me just read the caption. It says under number one, if you're not looking, you have no excuses from here. It's right here in front of your face. Time to wake up. I'll bet 80% of you are saying, oh gee, what a pretty cup. It's become truly a shameful level of ignorance at this point. So now you have a chance to make it right. And then number two, this is the most simplified way I could try to wake you all up. I hope you do soon. I can now clearly see Ed Leedskalnin must have been frustrated beyond belief. I'm really getting there myself. But these pictures, and each one can be clicked upon and looked at, and I would urge all of you to let's click on number one and look at this gorgeous image.
You know, what do you see in that?
What do I see in it? Well, I see the two, what do you call them? It's kind of like a scroll mark wrapped around the four sides of the cup. And then behind it, I see hundreds of the same scroll marks interconnected and forming an absolutely exquisitely perfect universal concept.
That's actually just a slice of what's really there. It's actually a three-dimensional code.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you'd have to do is rotate it around and it would fit together perfectly.
I see.
What other special cup have you heard of in history?
The chalice?
Uh-huh. And why would they call it that?
Hmm. I see where you're going.
That's what that picture is supposed to kick into people, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay.
That's what I believe it is. I believe it is the Holy Grail.
Could be.
And I believe the Holy Grail really is the mathematical formula for creation. And this is that, but in a visual form.
Well, that would be the perfect Holy Grail. Let's take all this club stuff and throw it out and talk about true universal...
Right, is there anything more important than that? You know, is there a bigger treasure than that?
No,
right.
None. So look on down at number two and click on that, or I should say 1A to be precise. DNA, the Holy Grail is the Coral Castle Code. So describe that to us if you would, John.
Well, that's a simplified layout just to show the energy distribution within the pattern. That's not me painting that in. That's actually using the code on the cover of the book without manipulating it in any way except laying it out and making the connections, the north and south connections.
It's perfect.
Exactly. But it's not just perfect for DNA. It's perfect for everything.
It's perfect for everything.
Everything's held together by this principle.
At what level is that? Are we talking subatomic? Where are we?
Anything that binds together, anything that forms into anything. What is forming it? What is holding it together?
Mm-hmm.
It's the two magnetic currents. And the neutral particles of matter, they orbit as a common core.
Is there such a thing as gravity?
Well, yeah, it's an effect of the same principles.
It's
there's only three things that make everything.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. There's only three things.
Yeah, three things that make everything. North pole magnets, south pole magnets, and the neutral particles of matter that they orbit as a common core, which is also known as sunlight. Is just an obstruction of magnetic current.
Light is just an obstruction of magnetic current.
If the Earth was where the sun is, it would be a sun also. The sun is blocking a stream of concentrated magnetic currents from the center of our galaxy.
Okay.
And that's why it's ignited.
All right, understand. Let's go down now to figure 24 and 25. This is an image. These are images of the cover of Ed's book. His only book?
No, he has three of them. One is A Book in Every Home, which is like political and family views, mm-hmm. and one is Vegetable, Animal, and Mineral Life. It's actually Mineral, Vegetable, and Animal Life.
He was a moral man, wasn't he?
I don't know if that's the right word, but he had his own beliefs about it, and I don't think he liked following other people's,
Well, morality doesn't have to conform to any universally accepted code. It can be, he's a moral man in his own right. But
I like what he had to say.
Yeah. All right, so you bought a copy of this book, Magnetic Current, first. When did you get a copy of it?
Oh, that was when I first visited there.
They were for sale, so you picked one up.
Yeah, and I had it for years. I mean, I looked at it for years. I've read it so many times I can't tell you. And, I was really getting to the point where I just was about to give up. And I was running some of my own experiments, and I saw something that gave me an idea to try, and I tried it, and it panned out to be way bigger than I ever thought.
Don't tell anyone where it is now. Okay, look at the front cover of the book. All right? Magnetic Current. Click on 24. There's the cover of Ed Lee Scanlon's book. Very simple. Little art on the front there, Magnetic Current by Edward Lee Scanlon, Rock 8. And then click on 25. When did the lights go on, John? Do you remember the day?
Remember I don't the remember the actual date, but I do remember, the moment, you might say.
Okay.
It was
now
a real slap in my face.
Keep in mind, well, that's okay. We like those kind of slaps.
Yeah, that was a good one.
John Depew read this book scores of times, as have countless scientists around the world for 60 years, trying to figure out what Ed told us in the book, in the pages. What clues were hidden in the pages? What was he referencing? What was he really talking about? He was never specific. Until one day when John Depew looked at the cover and a flash of inspiration hit him, slapped him in the face, as it was. We'll be right back. This is a great discovery in just a minute. Okay, so hopefully you've scrolled down on that page, and we're looking at item 24, and if you did just join us late, it's the Coral Castle Code page. So go down to item 24, and that's Ed Lee Scanlon's book cover. I can't even imagine how many people have read that book over the years. Scientists who are brilliant in physics and all kinds of different disciplines trying to figure it out. No one could do it. What happened on the day? You don't remember the day, but what happened with that book cover that clicked? What do you remember?
Well, it was one of my vortex gear experiments, with the machine that I made that I showed you before.
Yeah.
There were certain elements to that that gave me a clue that I said, could it be? And, that's how I thought of it, because I remember those two squiggly lines, because just recently I was thinking, they got to mean something, because at first, for the longest time, I thought they were just part of the, you know, the publisher's design. I didn't even click that they were, you know, part of his message.
Right, just a little scroll work on the cover to take up the space under the title.
Yeah, And so that's when I started playing around with it. I'm a graphic artist anyway, so I understand geometry, and I never even would have known what it was if I didn't do all the research throughout all those years of going through all these ancient manuscripts and, you know, all that kind of stuff, filling my brain with all of it. And there was a common theme, and this was the common theme. Once I unraveled it, I realized what it was. If I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have even known what it was or even thought about doing it. But it's grown into something so huge that it goes way past my level of even, you know, comprehension.
Wow. Let's look at that book cover. Now, you see the two little squiggle, look like S's almost back to back. It's a very elegant, simple design. That was the key. Ed put it right on the cover. Nobody saw it. Nobody figured it out. A little design, okay. They went right onto the text. How close does the text come to revealing the secret?
Nothing compared to the two squiggly lines.
Nothing. Okay, interesting. He was a very, very... I think the guy either had a sense of humor or he was throwing a challenge out at mankind.
Yeah, it could be both.
Yeah.
Sure. But the intelligence involved in understanding these principles, it's just unbelievable.
I hear your mind racing.
Yeah, I have trouble even talking about it, really.
I understand. That's okay. You're doing fine. Let's look at item 26 and double-click on that, enlarge it.
That's when I decided to look at them as like circuits and just make the connections. So I color-coded them first, then I went on connecting them, you know, north, south, you know, consider the blue, the north, and red, south, if you want.
I just started making
the connections to those.
So the blue and the red would be attracted to each other.
If they're running against each other.
When they run...
the same speed with each other, they don't have any attraction for each other.
Ah. When you say run the same speed, what does that mean?
Just if they're running in the same direction at the same speed in a whirling right-hand twist, like a vortex motion.
Okay.
When they're running against each other in that same motion, that's when they have the attraction. I'm just I'm quoting Ed on that.
Okay, all right. Now, when you're talking about whirling, Ed left, yeah, his tools were all there, apparently, what he used to do this. And one of them was, do we have a picture of that, the big wheel on the ground?
On this site? It's on a different page on this site.
Okay, I want to see that if we can. I think it's very important.
Go to my experiment. At the top, you see it, the navigator bar, you'll be able to jump over to it.
Okay, let's go to the back page, to his home page, and you'll see... CCC, physical experiments.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want you to go there. That's the second link at the top of the page from the left. John's physical CCC experiments. Now, when that page is loaded, and it's loading a little slowly, too, because there's many images on it, but the very top image, the first one, let me just read you what John has written here. Now, you are already... to look at Ed Leeds-Gellman's supposed simple AC generator and do so in a different way, right? Sure, it can make AC currents, but is anybody trying to measure the negative currents it's producing? And realize there is a correct way both forces can run through a wire without resistance. It's called superconductivity. The answer is no, because all the testing equipment is always one-sided. I hope you physicists and electricians get together and look at the wheel as a supplier of both magnetic currents, both of them. Measure the positive and the negative currents, and then think how that multidirectional electromotive life force that runs through all centers could be used to run energy to your loads. Physicists and electricians are playing with two halves of the same whole. The Flower of Life, among many other titles. So let's look at that first one. It's number 103, and just click on that. Double click, and you'll see a picture of Ed with his hand on a circular wheel. There's one, like a bar sticking up. He's grabbing that, and that enabled him to turn this wheel. Describe what that wheel was like.
It's a magnetic wheel.
What's it made of?
It's made of iron and concrete.
Okay. Concrete and iron, that's it.
Yeah. But the design of it totally complements this code to unravel.
Okay. And that wheel is connected to a shaft that went into the ground?
That's right.
How far down?
I don't know beyond the level of the floor, but there's water 6 feet under the whole complex.
So 3-4 feet maybe.
Yeah. It might go all the way down to the water.
Could be. Do we know what the shaft is made of? Same thing?
That's actually an old automobile crankshaft.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. It's a brilliant design, actually, for all homemade, throwing it all together.
Unreal. And all right, so what Ed would do would crank that thing round and round and round, okay? Just all of you just keep that in mind. And there are some chains up above, too. What were they used for?
That is as part of the whole process. He didn't move that around or anything. That's the permanent fixture there.
Uh-huh.
I believe it's the stored capacitance and I think he created a large orbit and knew how to send out that orbit in a whole form and broken form to do different types of work.
So those chains up there were basically storage units.
I think he used the iron to hold the magnet.
Huh.
But that pipe next to the wheel is very important. That's connecting the ground to that mass of iron.
The horizontal pipe?
And there was also a mass of iron that was on the roof of the whole tower there, but it's been removed since then, so I've never got a good look at it. I just saw it in an old aerial picture.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Wonder who took it off.
I don't know. I guess maybe they had a leak there or something.
That's an interesting explanation. We could be conspiratorial if we wanted to, I guess.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, so we'll look more at the wheel when we continue. I'll take a break. Next picture is 104, so go ahead and click on that one and preview that. It's a vertical shot down at Ed Leedskalnin's wheel with the handle in the center of it. You can take a good look at it that way. And look at the next picture, 105, which shows laying right over it, the perfect overlay. Those same squiggles, if you will, S's, that you saw on the cover of the book. And look how they interface with each other. All right, be right back with John DePew. John DePew. Let me see how to best approach this. Okay, what we'll do is take a look at 104, 105, 106, and we're going to go back to the first page.
Okay.
Okay, John, 104 is a vertical shot of the wheel, the Leedskalnin wheel, which again is concrete and iron, and he made it himself. There's a shaft there that goes straight down into the ground under the center of it. We don't know how far, four,
he
five,
didn't move
six
it around.
All right. Did you try to turn the wheel?
Yeah, I turned.
Hard?
I turned. Not really. Harder than I thought.
Okay.
But it's pretty, rusty and stuff now, too, so no one's really taking care of it right now.
Right. It's only the most important thing on the planet.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. It's still, people still don't see it. I mean, I got 300 pictures up here.
Well, they're seeing it now. Okay, so there's the first picture. So take a look. That's the wheel. Now, let's go on down to 105.
Well, before you do that, look at 104. You see that four-leaf clover pattern that's on top?
Yep.
That's built into the code also.
Uh-huh.
This whole wheel is designed with this knowledge that unraveled in those two magnetic curves.
Okay.
Just so people know.
Very good. All right. 105. That's the next one down. And what you'll see is an overlay on top of the wheel. You describe it, John.
This is a simple overlay. That's when I first thought about it, seeing how they work out on there. You can do it different ways, but it proved the principles of the wheel being exactly designed with the understanding of the what un-
Well, it showed that the front of the book was, in fact, the key.
Right.
That those
right.
two squiggles...
But not just the key. It's the mathematical formula for creation, for all of creation, but in a visual formula.
Wow.
It's that simple. That's why I like to just say that over and over, because that is the bottom line, and that way people don't miss it, because it's amazing. You can say that to people a couple of times, and they still miss it.
No, you can't. The average person, it's too...
They don't want to see it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's not that. It's wrapping your mind around more than day-to-day existence now is hard for most people. But just, you're getting through to a lot of folks, and the more they study this and think about it, the more it does become clear.
If they work with it, they really will.
Right.
That's really the only way to really see it.
Exactly. Now, you can't just bang, take it, unless you're extraordinary and got a background in physics and an open mind. Okay, so you see how it fits in the wheel there. The same two squiggles opposing each other all the way around. They fit perfectly. So let's look now at 105. We did look at 105. And why the magnetic compass points?
I just did that for my own reference. You know, that's the way it is in the room there.
Okay.
You know, if you're looking down at it, that's the way it would be in the room, looking down at it from that angle.
I'm going to go one more to 106 to give you an idea of how these two little lines are just amazing. We've done this program before.
And the truth is, this isn't even the amazing part. The amazing part is when you start getting into what unravels in the code itself.
Yeah. Well, we will.
I don't even think we could.
Well, we'll just get to as far as we can. We've got another hour and 15 minutes, but...
Yeah.
So you see in the next image more applications of these same two lines, and how, look what they do in the center. Look at the curled ends of them, what they do.
That's what they do with molecular structures also. That's how things bind together and form into the independent magnetic structures that combine with other ones. And you know.
All right, let's go. I want to go back to the Coral Castle code, which is the first page we were on.
Okay.
That starts out with image number 1, 1A, 1B. Where do you want to start?
Well, are you familiar with sacred geometry?
Yeah, a little.
All right, so you know what squaring the circle is, right?
A little bit.
Okay, we'll go down to, I'll give you a perfect example of squaring the circle with two magnets.
Okay.
So go down to image 20.
On the way down, I just want to stop. The beauty of this is as it continues to accumulate, it becomes more and more fascinating.
Yeah.
Look at 1C, everyone who's online. You see? Look at that.
Yeah, that's another thing. There's not electrons. What people think are electrons are really both magnets. And Ed described a perfect, simple...
Say that again.
There are no electrons as presently perceived. Electrons are really both magnets. And you can prove it with a simple experiment that's in my summary section. You can go back to it later. I describe it in there. But it's Ed's little experiment to prove to everybody that there's not electrons.
All right. 1C, let's go down.
Go down to 1B. I want you to sit inside here for a second. Look in.
One which?
1D, the next one down.
Okay, the very next one, 1D.
Now, you saw that DNA structure, right, that... the sphere that's above it, 1B. This
yeah.
is sitting in the center of a structure like that. It's not that particular structure, but it's what it's like sitting in the core.
Oh, my.
Isn't that interesting? This is the base of duality.
Uh-huh.
This is this energy.
Fascinating.
Isn't that interesting? I mean,
it's more than interesting.
Have you ever gotten to sit in there before?
No. Now, for our listeners... what we're looking at inside of an item, are these items all over the place then? This is one individual item,
this,
right?
Yeah, this is before it even forms into a living, like this is the first structure that develops before it grows and connects with other structures of similar design.
Okay, this is the building block structure.
So this picture is sitting in the center, the core of one of these magnetic structures. It's a little bit distorted because I had to use a view camera, and so it stretched it out
okay,
a little bit.
Okay, so 1C above that is the structure.
1C is a structure. That's not this particular structure.
Okay, 1D is another one. But
and 1B is a different one. There's a lot of different ones.
All right, okay. Very good. All right. So now go down to I can't pass these up. I'm sorry.
That's
number
okay.
Number three. Look at number three. And what do you see, folks? The same two lines. Over and over, and look how they build. Okay?
This is the basis of the Mayan calendar, also.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
It is the same, they have the same lines, don't they?
Yeah,
they knew.
Yeah, they did. Right.
Okay, I have seen these on the Mayan calendar. All right. Number four. Now look at it dense, look how dense. Lead Scalina knew all this. The man would lay there, and this would be in his mind, perfectly clear. And then some.
Yeah,
way,
how did
way
he
more.
Figure this out?
I don't know. Well, he's gifted. How did Tesla do what he did?
It's amazing.
You know? Okay, look at four, then look at five. Those are multiples of four.
Mm-hmm. And they see, this is making every connection. I'm not just making pretty pictures at all. These are blueprints. I'm considering those two squiggly lines like circuits, and I just connect them one by one. This is what they build into, and there's so much written into these into this whole pattern that I can't tell you with words. As they combine, picture these as, you know, patterns that connect to form like your skin, okay?
Right.
As they connect, they have built-in failure fixtures. So as you skims across the other one, you can see where they have another chance to connect and have a perfect communication with the other center.
Pick
That's
right
how they communicate.
Carry right on.
Center. It's mind-boggling.
Now, DNA would be made of something similar.
Right. I look at it as, like, if you go up back up to 1B, that would be like the first stage of DNA before it's not a strand form in that form. It's just it's what builds the strand.
Okay. That's what builds the strand.
Right. So what builds every structure are these two magnetic currents. Every single structure.
And they're flowing continually?
Right.
Back
through
and
everything.
Forth. Back and forth. It make a circuit, right? A closed circuit.
That's why they're represented as serpents in history. So the medical symbol, that's the representation of two magnetic currents.
Yeah, but the doctors don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and that staff is really representing the neutral particles of matter. That's what sunlight is.
Ah. Okay. All right, let's scroll on down. Where do you want to go to? 20, was it?
You skim through some of the ancient pictures that show that they knew, or...
Yeah, so let's look at that.
That's like right, coming right up.
Number seven, the Secrets of Solomon.
Yeah, that's
eight. Well, let's look at the sword.
Okay.
What's on the sword? Oh, is that engraved all up and down the blade?
Yeah.
The same thing?
It's what the Knights of Templar are guarding, or were guarding. It's the Holy Grail. People don't like that, but it's the truth.
It's on the blade.
It's the cup. It's the biggest secret.
Okay, number eight.
That is an ancient Celtic version of Sweet 16.
No, it sure is.
If you look at the very center, that ring goes right around the red center, and count those little peaks in the valleys, you'll get the same as Ed's sun door.
Well, just a coincidence.
Yeah.
All right. Number nine.
Number nine is just like I wanted to show in one picture, you know, a bunch of different aspects that all represent these two currents.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of different cultures.
Now, the two currents, they're magnetic currents.
Yes.
Are they running in a closed loop then through
They can only run against each other and with each other. They need each other to run. They can't run by themselves.
Okay.
And they orbit their common core, which is the neutral particle.
Gotcha.
That's why in the center of a galaxy, it's ignited like that. That's neutral particles obstructing magnetic current. So, if there aren't any neutral particles left in the center, what would you have? You'd have a black hole.
Sure would.
Because there's nothing obstructing the current to make light.
Okay, while we're away, take a look at some more of the pictures, ancient history. Again, John has created an absolutely unforgettable journey with these pages of his. So
this is just the beginning.
I understand. Is the world ready for this? They they who control us know this. They've known it for a long time. It's the ultimate knowledge. Do they want us to have it? No. Do we have it now? Yes. Thanks to you. Okay, when we come back, we'll look at some more of these magnificent images, all again from those two little lines on the cover of Ed Leedskalman's Magnetic Current book.